Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to the first after show for Netflix's The Kominsky Method. We are so excited to break it down for you, introduce all of the characters, and also we've got a special segment talking about bizarre funerals. You won't want to miss it, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Leave in love after love.
Gosh, gotta love Cher. Woo! Love her so much. This song will never get old to me.
Never. Such a classic.
Such a classic. Well, welcome, everybody. I am so excited to be breaking down the Kominsky Method, especially with you lovely ladies. I am joined by some amazing co-hosts here. Yasmin Tanraz, what's going on?
I am excited to be breaking this down, finally.
I know,
it's been around for a couple of months.
It has.
Yeah, but it's, you know, we got to talk about it.
We do. And then, of course, the beautiful Mina Wahab. What's going on, lady?
Oh, I'm excited to talk about death. Yeah, let's do it.
You're a lady in red today. If you're listening, she's wearing all red, jacket and turtleneck. It looks great. But, and I'm Allie Nasta, guys, and we will be your panel talking about the Kominsky Method. The way it's going to work is we will be breaking down two episodes per after show. And just breaking it down by topic and getting into all the nitty gritty. And I'm so excited. But first, to jump things off, I wanted to ask you guys, obviously, because this is a Netflix show and it's bingeable and there's so many new shows on Netflix, I feel like it's so hard to kind of shuffle through all the mix of all the original shows they have now. How did you guys find the Kominsky Method?
I didn't fully know about it until the Golden Globes nominations. Okay. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Let me look into this. And I went on Netflix and I saw that it was a 99% match for me.
I was like,
oh, okay, cool. I love comedy. Let's check this out.
Amazing. What about you, Yasmin?
Likewise. I mean, I had heard about it a couple of months ago when it came out, and then I was like, huh, this could be interesting, because I had taken some acting classes with Stanislavski technique, and, you know, seeing Michael Douglas as well portraying this or leading this, I thought, this could be good, but I wasn't quite sure. And then obviously with the Golden Globes traction, I thought, okay, this has got to be good.
I have to say I'm a little bit of a dork on this end, as I've known about it for a while because I'm a huge fan of Emily Osment, and I was a huge fan of Young and Hungry, so when that got canceled, I was like, oh, this is sad. I loved that entire cast, and I was just like, okay, what's going to be next for them? I got to figure out what's next, and then I follow Emily Osment on Instagram, and she had been posting a lot about being on set, wondering if it's going to get picked up or where or whatever, and so I kind of have known about it. And so finally, randomly, I saw it on Netflix and I was like, wait, it's here. It's happening. So that's kind of how I found out about it.
I kept thinking, like, when I was watching that, I was like, oh my God, is that the girl from Hannah Montana?
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, it is.
It's Emily Osment. Yeah.
And her acting was good. Like, I thought it was, like, funny.
Oh yeah, totally funny. And it's so interesting to me too, because obviously I'm a fan of her and other projects where it's completely and vastly different. So it was fun to see her in a different light, but I am super stoked and I'm loving the show overall. And I want to know your overall thoughts so far of what you've seen so far.
I like it. I think, okay, so this might be like a controversial opinion. I think if I watched it without it being nominated for a Golden Globe, I would have liked it a little bit more than I do, just because I would be like, wow, this is so funny. But because it was nominated and because it did win a Golden Globe, I was expecting some like crazy, like Oscar-worthy performances. And
you're
like
a little bit more critical.
Yeah, I'm more critical now, so I have like a different lens with which I'm viewing the entire series.
Interesting.
And I liked it. I thought it was well-written and funny in a very dark way. And the types of jokes they had, they weren't like, I wasn't like cracking up, but I was like, oh, this is really smart writing. I like it. But it wasn't anything where I was like blown away or like knocked off my feet. I just enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going down to, because we're breaking down the first two episodes, I agree with you, Mina. Like, I am looking at it from a more critical standpoint. And then maybe I'm also saying, like, I'm thinking, oh, this is actually really funny, when I'm not sure if I would have done had it not won something. I'm not sure. Because it's interesting. They are 30 minutes as well, which is pretty short. And that kind of surprised me as well, to see Michael Douglas doing something like this. So far, I will say it's funny. I'm intrigued to see what else is going to happen, though. how the characters are going to evolve.
I agree with you guys completely. Aside from the Golden Globes, critical acclaim and everything, I knew it was nominated, obviously, but that wasn't the reason why I was drawn in. I think what I find very endearing about it is I think that Norman and Sandy's relationship is just so fun to watch, and you just don't know what you're going to get, mm-hmm. and you don't know what to expect. And I find it strange that this old friendship with all this history just was so intriguing to watch. And I'm really wondering, like, what is going to happen and how this is going to actually play out, because I was so intrigued. Mm-hmm. I will say the first episode of the pilot, like, was a little slow leading up to all of it. But then after episode two, like, or after the end of halfway through episode one, I was hooked and I wanted to know what was happening next and kind of where it's going to leave us. But I find all of the characters to be super lovable, mm-hmm. even when they're a little, you know, they're not always right, but I just find them super lovable, intriguing, and I want to get more. I want to understand more. So I'm really excited to see what this season has to offer. And obviously we can binge it all, but mm-hmm. we're not going to spoil anything for you guys because we're just doing episodes one and two. Mm-hmm. But so let's meet these characters. So we were introduced to Sandy and Norman, who have a very adorable friendship. They've been friends for years. Sandy is the reason why Norman met his wife, who we get introduced to, Eileen. What is something that you saw that, like, Sandy and Norman, like, did you understand the closeness of Sandy and Norman as soon as you kind of got introduced to the characters? Mm-hmm. Because I was a little questioning who was this Eileen person that they had been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a little confused just because I kept thinking, is this a business relationship or a personal relationship? Because I kind of saw it as, like, wait, was he Sandy's agent? Like, what's going on? And I was a little confused. And then when he was like, oh, are you visiting my wife? And Sandy was kind of on the fence. And he's like, yeah, I will. I was like, is this like some weird business formality? And it wasn't like until later on, I was like, oh, they are really good friends. Right. They just, I feel like men in general have a hard time processing grief publicly and have an easier time doing it privately, where, you know, they don't have to be as vulnerable and open with their emotions. And I just think it's like a hard thing in general for men to be expressive when it comes to any sort of vulnerability or weakness, just because of how our society has have raised like men to be. Uh-huh. So we saw a little bit of that. That's why I kind of thought like maybe their friendship isn't as strong as I thought. But then I realized, no, this is just like how they're processing different things going on.
Yeah, I mean, initially I was like, okay, this is definitely a business relationship because of the way that they sat down at the restaurant and talking about business. Essentially, it was like Michael Douglas, I mean, Sandy, not getting the part in the CBS sitcom. And then he's like, the whole ludicrous thing. That was hilarious, the whole banter between them too. Yeah. So to me, it definitely felt more like work. But there was another layer that you could tell was like when the wife was brought up. So I definitely think their relationship is interesting.
Did they bring up Big Bang Theory, by the way? Did they bring up that show Big Bang Theory?
I think so, yes. Because he was like, Sandy was like, yes, well, the Big Bang Theory, they make like $1 million per episode or something. Oh, and he really wanted that.
The only reason I found that to be super interesting is because if you notice, the executive producer of this show is Chuck Lorre, and it's the same executive producer for Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised that they kind of like jabbed at Big Bang Theory.
Right.
That's well picked up.
Considering that it's like the same guy tied to both projects.
Yeah. Now that you say that, it's funny because they said then, oh, they wanted to go with somebody more ethnic. And it's like Big Bang is super ethnic. But I thought that was a really interesting point because there is this whole discussion about diversity and ethnicity, and then it's kind of showing what the other side of the spectrum is going through. Mm-hmm. You know, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like...
not being
right now,
ethnic
white,
enough.
White males are having the toughest time in Hollywood right now. Like, we all empathize so much.
I just think like you guys said, it was a weird kind of... I couldn't tell what their relationship was at first, but now we know they're basically like brothers. They've been through everything together. But what I was more intrigued with, and I understand how close they are, and it's your best friend's wife, but I felt like there was something more to Eileen and Sandy's relationship than what met the eye, and I couldn't understand what it was.
Like a romantic undertone?
Yes. Okay. But I didn't want to think that, because it's like, I almost felt, personally, that he had never been happy with any of the women that had been in his life, because he was always chasing after an Eileen, and an Eileen of who he could fill that void with, and he never found that, because, like he had mentioned, he had fallen in love, or he, not fallen up, but they went on a date, he went in for the kiss, and she was like, no. And then Norman was introduced, and then the rest is history. But I just kind of found that. I don't know if you guys picked that up or not, or if it was just me kind of overlooking or looking too much into a situation.
I definitely think there was something, especially when that came up in the restaurant, and then Sandy was like, oh, yeah, whatever. It was just like, why? There must be something.
That would be, and then it came out later. If that's the reason he didn't want to visit.
Because when he gave his eulogy, he did say he wanted to date her, and she's the one who was like, no.
But would you really hold on to something for that long?
Maybe.
For that long.
Maybe if you love someone.
And it's his best friend who's then matched
It's like
with
you're
her.
Kind of just in this weird space where you can't say anything, and then you just kind of have to just, like, bite it, because you want them to be happy, and you see how happy they are together, which clearly they were the happiest of the couples, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to circle back around to Sandy and Norman, because I want to talk about just their friendship even more, and then their way that they've parented, which leads us to Mindy, who is Sandy Kaminsky's daughter. We are introduced to her, like, she works for him. And you could, the way that the interaction was, you couldn't really tell at first. And then obviously she threw in the dad, and you're like, oh, okay. How do you guys think that Mindy is going to play more into this storyline? Because right now it's shown that, like, it seems like her and Sandy just don't have the best relationship. And she even mentions they don't have the best relationship. So do you think they're going to kind of dive more into making their relationship as father and daughter become stronger?
I mean, he's definitely thankful for her, because I think he brought her up in the restaurant as well in front of Norman, being like, I'm very grateful that she's there at the theater. I thought that she was taking class. But then, as you mentioned, when we, like, learn that she's actually cleaning the theater, I was like, what? So she's actually working for him at the same time as actually supposed to be attending the classes.
Yeah.
But she does mention at some point, I think this is in episode two, when they're sitting in the car, or that they're having the best relationship right now, which is interesting to me.
Like, the older, you don't really, they've gotten closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't really see that. I see him saying that, because I think he's like, because she's really supporting him, and so, you know, she's helping him and everything. But I don't see her feeling that so much.
Right. It's definitely we're gonna have to delve more into what's really behind what's going on here. And like you mentioned, they definitely have a huge love for each other, but because of their, obviously, father and daughter. But there is something else behind there that I think she might even be maybe resentful or been holding back her own passions just to help out her dad, because she was too worried he couldn't do it on her own, that kind of thing.
They did mention briefly that there was something that went wrong with the mom and Sandy, kind of like she chased him out, or like,
she nearly drove him over at Galson's.
Something like that. And I was like, oh, okay. So, like, she's probably witnessed a lot of, like, crazy behavior from her parents growing up.
I guess as well, going back to referring to Lisa catching him out on the fact that he has slept with his students. So I wonder if there was something back in the day that during his marriage he was, like, doing that. And Mindy did mention as well, my dad wasn't around often. So, you know, maybe because of acting projects, but also because of maybe, you know, going around. And she says in front of Lisa, well, it's payback now. So she tells her the brief story about why that he did get run over at Galson's nearly by his ex-wife.
Yeah. So interesting. I think that's what's great about this show, too, is that you're seeing all these characters, and you can tell from this jump that there's so much more and so much more backstory, and that's what keeps you watching, because you want to know more, and you want to know what's kind of going to be open behind, like, door number three, you know what I mean? But moving on to some of the students, we get introduced to Lane and Teresa, who are two of the major students that kind of stand out.
Besides the Pen 10 guy.
Yeah, besides that.
I love love the Pantene guy.
And yeah, his Bitcoin.
He's in the show Atypical too, and he does a great job on that show.
Yeah, he was throwing in some good one-liners. Like, yes, definitely. Yeah,
those that were had the ones this that impact. Yeah, those were the ones that I was like, okay, this is funny. Like when he's like, what should I do before the audition? And Sandy's like, just wash your hair. Yeah. He's like, brilliant.
And it's exactly like a great representation of, and I don't want to say this, it really like hurts me to say this, but of like the younger generation versus the older generation, the way right. that we interact and the way that we think and the way that he brought up Bitcoin even. And Sandy's just like, what?
Yeah, I'm like
living
what
in a different
happening?
World right now.
I would want to be paid in Bitcoin. I wouldn't mind that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? I don't know where this is going.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, but yeah. They also kind of like points out the fact that sometimes when someone is put on this pedestal and it's like, oh, the Kominsky method, then you just like take whatever they say as the word of God.
Yeah.
And like, no pun intended, because he had the whole God speech.
Ooh,
about how
that's a good point.
You know, the world is your stage and you're God, right. because you're creating this. And I was just like, okay, like relax here. Like, I feel like he feels the need to always say something super inspirational, and it's not that inspirational, but because he's Sandy Kominsky, people are just blindly like in awe right. of his greatness. And that's why I love Alan Arkin's character. He kind of calls him out and right. like serves as that foil.
That's true.
Which I think a lot of them kind of call him out, which, you know, we could just jump to, we'll stay in this lane for a second, but mm-hmm. there were a couple of speeches at the funeral that kind of allude to, what have you really done? Like, you're just a teacher, you know? And so I think, and you can see the like, not fear in his eyes, but that like taken aback look where you're like, mm-hmm. oh my, he just said that. Like, those were fighting words. And you could tell that Sandy really took that personally. And even though he knows it's a joke, he feels that way because he hasn't booked anything in a while. And he's mm-hmm. like feeling those, I'm teaching these kids, but like, what have I done?
You yes, know? That pressure.
Yeah. And so I think he knows what he's not doing, you know what I mean? And so I think when he says those things, it's just kind of like a little affirmation of like, I mean, I know what I'm doing. Like, he needs that affirmation from the students to make himself feel valued. Mm-hmm. But
he,
I don't know.
He makes a couple of comments where he's like, we're doomed. But then I feel like he should be proud about the fact that this guy booked Pantene, and, you know, right. by just giving him this simple task to do to prepare for it.
Right.
Which obviously is over the top. It's not really, like, reality. That doesn't really happen, but
totally. Well, I've left one character out, and that's because I want to segue that into the lovely day we had between Sandy and Lisa. Okay, I feel like from the get-go, I was like, all right, this is happening.
Yeah.
There is some sort of chemistry and, like, just their body language that you use to each other. I kind of figured this is going to happen. This is going to lead to a date. Did you guys think it was going to be something long-lasting, or did you expect it to kind of be something that was going to drive the storyline?
I feel like she's exactly what he needs, so I could see it. I mean, I could see it going either way, but from the very beginning, that initial chemistry happened when Sandy asked his classroom, what makes the second performance more powerful than the first when it came to Emily Osmond's
character Teresa.
Yeah, Teresa's performance kind of emulating Sally Field's performance in the right. original movie. And the girl in the audience basically said, Lisa stated, the second performance is more powerful because it shows that you don't have to cry when you process grief, because there are so many different ways to process grief. And I like that she took the anger perspective and she had a different take on it. And that was refreshing. And just like her having that answer and being able to kind of go back and forth with him
she
as a teacher.
Him.
Yeah. She's not blindly like, oh, you are the Sandy right. Kominsky. I'm in love with you. It's more like, no, like, I'm on your level. Like,
yeah.
What can you teach me, Sandy,
right.
versus Mr. Kominsky?
Yeah.
So I feel like it was kind of that instant. Like, he likes a challenge. He doesn't yeah. want someone super submissive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess with his younger students, he's always had someone more submissive. So mm-hmm. this yeah. is like, I felt like that instant moment when he recognized her, like when he saw her mm-hmm. and was like, well, who are you? You could see, okay, sparks are flying. Something's going right. to happen here for sure. Like, she's definitely more on his level and more understanding. But now that you've mentioned about how she broke down Teresa's performance about grief, I'm now almost recognizing there's a lot surrounding about when his daughter, Mindy, does bring up to Sandy, you fear death. It's an ironic situation that Lisa then mentions that part about Teresa, and then the following, the way that their relationship evolves or how it's unfolding, each date has been actually very close towards death. It's mm-hmm. like yeah. first the hospital and then the funeral. Everything's just getting closer to that fear that he has. And it's almost like he needs that partner. He's taking that new partner along on this ride to face it. And it's a weird thing that I just thought about.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point.
It's such a great point. And it's kind of like he's breaking down those barriers at the get-go. So maybe they're able to kind of put that in the past and realize, like, maybe he's going to kind of learn from this or, you know, I don't know, grow and just not be scared of anymore, which everybody kind of is scared of it. Yeah. But
I mean, I wonder as well, because we don't really know what happened to the ex-wife, do we?
Right, no.
So
I don't think so.
I wonder if she passed.
I know he had three, right? I feel like they mentioned three of something.
So three past relationships.
Yeah, he said something like three things that didn't work within the time frame that he stopped seeing. I don't know. It was something like that. Yeah.
That was something that was said. But yeah, I think that there is definitely initial chemistry. I can see her being in the storyline for a while. And I think, you know, like you're mentioning, Yasmin, about her laughing at the funeral and be like, oh, this is great. I mean, obviously it has to do with the Norman's daughter, the performance, Norman's daughter kind of like struggling to walk in the door. So that'll definitely be interesting to see like how they play out in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. But then also it's like I see them maybe getting married or like that kind of long haul. But then also there's an interesting twist to maybe like they could just become best friends, and it's like the best friend that he's kind of been searching for.
Maybe Alan Arkin's character develops feelings for her. You never know.
Oh, that could be a twist. That could be a twist for sure. Let's kind of jump into the funeral. So that was a very unorthodox, wild.
So great. Such a weird way.
Patti LaBelle.
Right.
I thought Barbara Streisand.
Jay Leno.
That was the best. I actually want to see that scene again.
It was so great. And it was hilarious that they had Jay Leno kind of like doing a little bit of a roast, in which Sandy was a little bit on the other side of. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely unconventional, but I think it kind of just like they were trying to really ode to who Eileen was mm-hmm. to give sight into Norman, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think his speech to her was very sweet.
Yes.
And I think that now that you kind of mentioned about the grief thing and learning how to deal with grief, I think we're kind of seeing that be shown in Norman right now and like mm-hmm. how he deals with the next day. He's like, we got to do this, we got to do this. And he's trying to plan things, but I think this is his way of dealing with grief where he just needs to constantly be, you know, like, keep busy.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, I feel like now that we're talking about it and breaking down the first two episodes, topically, I'm seeing that it's about, like, aging and the process of what it is to be in front of younger kids, younger generations, what they're picking up on and the way that they are versus how the older generation is and the way that they think and do things. And then as well, nearing that death situation of how you're going to handle it. But also, like, how to not be very conventional or traditional about it. There are so many ways of going about it, and whether that's through your bereavement process or the way that your feelings, your emotions, how you're expressing yourself, and to also let people know that it's okay. Like, I know, like, this is the way that it can happen.
Yeah.
And although this is very unconventional. Does anyone know who's buying the coffin? That was interesting because I haven't seen a show or a film where I've actually had to watch through this whole process mm-hmm. of going to buy a coffin and choosing all these different things.
They always fast forward just to the actual ceremony.
Event.
So it's actually refreshing to see that because there's a lot that goes on, like a lot of like weird logistical things you have to take care of when someone dies. And it's really like it's a lot when you're already going through grief in the first place to have to plan all these things when your heart is shattered.
Yeah.
So
And I thought it was just interesting to see Norman's reaction. Like, he was getting really aggressive and mm-hmm. bitter, and you know, that's when you see somebody go through that, it's like you've just got to be so empathetic and patient.
Excuse me. Oh, man. There must be some dust there or something.
Allergic to death.
Yeah. I'm getting sad, guys. I'm joking. No. Yeah, it is very interesting to see Norman kind of play this out. But what I will say is that, Yasmin, you had brought this up before we started talking today, and you had mentioned how the parenting behind Norman and Sandy is very interesting because they seem to be very, you know, put together. They've been there for each other, and the support they give one another, you'd think that's what they would give to their children. But then we're kind of getting a glimpse into Sandy's relationship with Mindy and how he wasn't always there. He wasn't always the best father. And then we get a little bit of glimpse into Norman and kind of just, I guess, a train wreck his daughter is. We don't know what she's coming from, what she's gotten into. But that was just kind of something that you guys had brought up. And I think that's a very interesting play because it's mm-hmm. like what had gone on during mm-hmm. those years of parenting.
I mean, I truly question that as well, just because they're the two men that seem to be very close. They're almost like a couple, let's just say that.
True.
Like they work together and do everything together more than they did with the other halves. I mean, I can't speak for Norman. I think he really was there more for Eileen, but for their children, yeah, it's like their second priority, it seems. So hopefully, you know, I feel like this is another premise of then seeing two men losing their, or, you know, not being with their other halves. One is maybe accumulating that relationship, but then the relationship with their daughters, how two men are going to deal with that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how the rest of the season plays out and how much they infiltrate the daughters. And I think Mindy obviously is going to be a big part, but,
she's so sweet.
she is. She's like the sweetest. So it'll be interesting to see how Norman's daughter is kind of brought into the picture, which I have a feeling she's probably going to be there to be supportive and, or not, like she's going to be there for quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, support.
Yeah.
But like not necessarily be support, just kind of staying on the couch kind of thing.
Right.
I feel like she's going to create chaos.
Oh, definitely.
I have a weird feeling that it's going to be like she's doing it. Like, I don't want to say intentionally, but it's this subconscious urge to, like, for payback. Like, she doesn't, like, want to do something with vitriol or hatred, but it just will come out.
Oh, really?
I almost feel like it's going to be something weird like
just
that.
Just because she stumbled in like some crazy maniac from, as you said, Ali, God knows where she's been or what she's done. But I almost feel like she's the type of personality where she doesn't even know it. She doesn't even know how chaotic she is. She's just that way. And mm-hmm. I feel like there could be conflicts that arise between her and her father. She might even try to get in there with Sandy. And then that's just going to create chaos between her and Lisa. I don't know. I just feel like there's something that's going to boil up in this season.
I do think her relationship with Alan Arkin's character is really endearing, though. Like, the amount of, like, care and nurturing she provides to him. Which makes me wonder, like,
what, Norman's daughter?
No, not Norman's daughter.
Mindy.
Okay. Yeah, I was just talking about Norman's daughter.
Okay. I forgot to say I used the same pronoun, but for a different person. But for Mindy, I just feel like it's just interesting to see how her relationship with Norman is so close, given that she doesn't have a close relationship with her father. So I wonder how that even was cultivated and if her mom was friends with the wife of Norman.
Right.
So
that's true.
That's something that like I was wondering. And also, I don't know if you guys teared up at all, but I did tear up a little bit, like, listening to that eulogy from
I got really in my feels. That was a very touching.
It was so sweet. That was a good performance. I thought that was, like, really authentic.
Yeah, it was.
I love it. He's just killing it with the acting.
Yeah. loving the show. But it is time to move into some crazy segments. This one is very, very bizarre. Mina, can you take it away for us?
Yes, I can. So since we're on the topic of funerals and death, I am going to highlight the top 10 weirdest, most bizarre funerals ever. So one of them involves a murdered boxer who was posed leaning against the corner of a makeshift boxing ring for his wake.
What?
So that's the picture up there.
So people can take pictures with him.
Wait, yeah, they, like, his fans put his and stuff. Body?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so he was wearing
the boxing
ring. Basically had him wearing a yellow hood on his head, sunglasses over his eyes, and blue boxing gloves on
his
hands.
That is morbid.
Yes.
That is more. Who thought that was a good idea?
Because he was a boxer, and the family wanted to stress his boxing, and the funeral home was the one who suggested posing him in a ring. Yeah, so.
Okay.
I don't know about you guys, but that sounds a little morbid to
yes.
me.
I wonder if, I mean, bodies, they smell when they're dead.
I don't know. That just seems so disrespectful.
Well, it says that the 23-year-old Rivera had a 5.15 record in the 130-pound weight class. And then the way he died,
I doubt he wanted to have his body posed for pictures. Like, that's awful. I'm not on that. I can't agree with that.
Make a wax figure out of him then, you know?
What?
I'm just going to gloss over these other ones. But the other one, number two, the Thai man who married his dead girlfriend in a funeral wedding ceremony.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Married his dead girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're
like,
married
were
to somebody
they engaged?
Who's...
Well, he was with her for 10 years.
But they never... But, like, Mm-mm. Did she not want to get married? Like, is that why they didn't get married?
Well, it says the couple had planned to get married in the future, but he wanted to focus on his studies before tying the knot. So,
And then... last line.
And then it says, unfortunately, the promise of till death do us part won't mean much in this way.
Oh, this is... This
I know we shouldn't be laughing because this is actually
morbid.
Really sad, but there's something so strange and bizarre about
I love the writer of this article.
I know, right? We're gonna give him credit.
Number three, the Chinese student who organized a rehearsal of her own funeral so she could enjoy it. Honestly, you guys, I would totally do this. Like, I am
such... Would you really? Rehearse your own funeral?
I'm such a words of affirmation person that I want to know what people appreciate about me. Why would I wait until I'm dead?
To know what the process is? Yes. You know you're going to have to spend money then on your own
why
funeral,
don't you
basically.
Just have a little cookout at your house and be like, hey, guys, tell me what you think about me. You don't need to rehearse your
Come
own
on,
funeral.
Come on, you guys have never wondered, like, who would show up at your funeral?
Yes, yes.
Or, like, what they would say about you. I want to get it now. I don't want to wait.
That's what your life is for. That's what building friendship is for. That's who's going
to
show up.
But you want people to kind of know then, like, okay, this is what I want. I remember going to a death cafe and a woman telling me exactly she wants, like, a cave with a party. And I thought, why did you think of this already? And one day she was like, I was on a flight. I got really anxious and I had to write it down and send it to my friends. So there's a lot of people out there that think about and make
it happen.
There's nothing wrong with thinking about it. I'm just saying, Mina, maybe instead of like planning this, you could actually just have people over and be like,
like,
let's
a birthday
talk.
Party or something?
Well, no, I don't know if you guys have ever done it, but like when it's someone's birthday, you sit around in a circle with like all your friends that are at a party and you just go around and you say like about like, the first time you guys met as like your friendship or like what you love best about that
that's
person.
So cute.
And it's just kind of like a love
I've never had that.
Yeah.
Like, I need one of those.
Can you plan my birthdays for me?
Yeah.
Or the funeral?
Let's not talk about
the
that.
Funeral party.
No, but seriously, you should just have a little get together where it's just like a love party where, you know, maybe everybody just talks about what they like most about each
party.
Other.
That
it's about
sounds...
lifting each other up. And then that way you don't need to plan your own funeral. People will just tell you in person how much they care about you and what they think is special about you.
That sounds like a really
That's,
good
yeah.
friends Galentine's
yes
day.
February 14th.
That's 13th or 15th.
And then there's just a few more and we won't go into much depth, but number four, the man who was posed riding his motorcycle at his wake.
Gosh.
Number five, the Puerto Rico man who asked to be standing at his wake.
What?
Number six,
there he is.
The man who asked to be buried on his Harley Davidson motorcycle and wanted the whole world to see it. Number seven, the man who wore a lime dress to his friend's funeral to fulfill the death pact, which is pretty funny. Number eight, the funeral home that hosted a Christmas-themed ceremony. Number nine, the man who spent 25 years and $10,000 making himself an Egyptian-style coffin.
Wow, that's pretty badass, though.
Yeah, that's
having
that's
an Egyptian-style coffin.
It's your life's work and your death's work.
Was he, like, mummied?
I don't know, actually. Was he? Let's see. So he was a lifelong admirer of Egyptian artistry, and he began crafting the coffin in the mid-1980s. So he hand-painted it red, black, gold, and green.
He hand-painted it himself.
And it's made of cedar so that it doesn't rot. and the coffin is almost 7 feet tall, weighs 300 pounds, and sits in two pieces inside his sawdust-filled workshop.
Oh, wow.
Then there's also a hand-carved image.
That's another option, Mina, you can invest in.
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool. I need to look into this. And then finally, the bizarre kayaking funeral that made the rounds on the internet. This is pretty badass.
This is an old man in a kayak?
All that is so morbid, but very entertaining, I guess,
in a way. And shout out to the writer of this article on oddee.com, because it says, at least the funeral seemed to go swimmingly, making jokes at a funeral. Canoe. Believe this guy.
Oh,
that is definitely a bad link.
Props to this writer.
Actually, this wasn't the writer. This was from a forum on Reddit with like people submitting their puns.
Okay, well, very interesting. Yeah. Thank you for bringing the most bizarre funerals to today's segment. Mina, that was much appreciated. Now we are moving on to some news and gossip, and Yasmin is going to take it away for you guys.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yes.
Thank you. So obviously we know the new series debuted in November. On the streaming giant Netflix and snagged 3 nominations and 2 wins at the Golden Globes, including Best Comedy Series and Best Actor in a Comedy, Michael Douglas. So even though it was ranked just below its top 100 streaming shows in the US, in the week leading up to the Globes, according to research company Parrot Analytics, but those who have seen it seem to like it, as besides its Globes wins, it has an 80% Rotten Tomatoes critic score and a 94% audience score from over 100 user ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. And then there was even more of an audience demand after the Golden Globes. It shot up to like 73%. And it had also garnered 2 further nominations at the 24th Critics' Choice Award. And so now there are reports between Netflix and Warner Bros. For a renewal discussion for a season 2. There are still debates on how many episodes there will be, either 13 or 10. Michael Douglas insinuated that he'd rather have 10. Mm-hmm. So at this point, from you fans, we want to know what you think, if there should be a season 2, how many episodes. Chime in, leave a comment, or tweet at us. You know, it'd be interesting to know what you think of the show so far as well and what we spoke about today.
Please do. Thank you so much, Yasmin. And congrats to the cast of The Kominsky Method for the wins. I mean, Golden Globes, that's amazing. And we can say that we truly believe they deserve it. What a great show. Loving it so far. Before we get into the closing, let's do some predictions really quick of what we think is going to happen
in episodes 3 and 4.
Yeah, I'm not positive, but what I'm gathering from this, I feel like it's going to be character-driven moving forward. Mm-hmm. So right now, the thing that's propelled the plot a little bit is the fact that there was this death. But now I'm kind of like, are they going to have another incident? Or is it just going to be the lives of, you know, or like the dynamic between the friendship of Sandy and Alan Arkin's character, Norman? So I just think it's going to be a character-driven series for the rest of the season. Which means that we're going to get to find out, like, more about their personalities and how they cope in different situations.
Yeah, I think, because I kind of touched upon what I think is going to happen now that Norman's daughter has fallen into the plot. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be chaos. We're going to see how their friendship is going to evolve. I don't know if the death of Eileen is going to bring them closer or is going
to
drive them apart.
Interesting.
Yes, because I feel like there has to be something that's just going to be shocking for a season 2 as well. I really wonder what's going to happen in the end.
Yeah.
And as for Mindy, I think, she's going to grow very close to Lisa, almost as if Lisa's going to be her mother figure.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm just going to do one small prediction, which I think that just kind of bouncing off of what you just said, Yasmin, with Lisa kind of being Mindy's mother figure, I think it might actually open up to even Mindy introducing her son, or not Mindy, sorry, Lisa introducing her son to Mindy, mm-hmm. and maybe opening him up to the idea of having a family, and like, because he's very closed off right now, or even better yet, Sandy might kind of get a second chance at parenting and be able to really bond with, I think his name was Matt, to kind of just kind of figure out where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That could be really interesting. I definitely think that this whole love story between Sandy and Lisa is going to go somewhere very strong, and I'm excited to see that. Mm-hmm. But just so you guys know, too, we do realize this is a very bingeable show, but we're choosing to do it two episodes at a time so we don't spoil it. And also, so it's kind of more fun to see what's going to happen at the end. We thank you guys so, so much for watching and listening wherever you are listening or watching this. We appreciate it. Please make sure to give us 5 stars and a thumbs up. Yasmin, where can they find you on social media?
All platforms at Yasmin Tanrez.
Mina?
Hey everyone, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Mina Makes Magic, or just go to my website, minamakesmagic.com.
And hey guys, Allie Nasta here. Find me on social media at Allie Girl, and of course, follow AfterBuzz TV on all social media platforms. We will see you next week for episodes 3 and 4. Bye!
Bye!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.